Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Find your Bibles with me. We have two passages that we're going to look at today. So if you have your Bibles with you, great. Grab one on the Welcome Center if you need it, or app on your phone. Just have God's Word open. We have two passages today that we want to look at this morning. The second passage we'll have you look up first. That's the John passage you see on the screen. So John chapter 1. John is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. It's right at the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1 is where we'll be. When you find that, if you have a hard copy of God's Word, just put your finger there, put the bulletin there, mark that spot, and then turn with me to the right a little further, through John, through Acts, through Romans, near the end of 1 Corinthians, you'll find 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're just going to look at the first verse there and just dabble just a little bit into the second verse. That's where we're going to start here this morning. So let's begin. We already prayed for our time of study, so let's look together at this first passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1, and then we'll just bleed a little bit into verse 2. So the Apostle Paul is writing here. He's writing to the church in Corinth, and he writes this. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. Amen. So Paul says, I want to remind you. I want to remind you. I think I know I used this illustration a couple of years ago already, but you know, maybe some of you weren't here then, or maybe you have long forgotten it, but I think it fits really well, so I'm going to use it again. But I'll set it up just a little different this time. How many of you have ever had this happen to you, where maybe it's the new year and you want to eat healthier, or you're kind of watching how much you spend, and so instead of going out to eat, you make your own lunch for work or school. And you make that lunch, and you get it ready, and you put it into the fridge, and then you finish getting ready, and before you know it, you're in the parking lot at school or at work, and you realize, my lunch is in the fridge still. Anybody ever done that? I think it took me only about 63 times or so before I got smart, and I said, there's got to be a better way, and so here's what I do. Get up, get ready, get the lunch ready, put it in the fridge, and I have this. This is my church keys and my house keys. And they're on a separate key ring. I started doing this back in Michigan when we lived in a parsonage where I didn't have to drive. Just walked across the parking lot, and I just needed church keys. So I have a separate key ring for church keys and house keys. And sometimes I don't need my church keys when I'm going to Shields or going to a game or whatever. And sometimes I take a different vehicle here to the church building. So I have my keys on a separate key ring, and if there's anything I'm going to remember in the morning, it's these keys. And so in the morning, I'll get myself ready, I'll get lunch ready, put it in the fridge, go shower up, get ready, and as I'm leaving, there's always four things I need to grab: car keys, phone, wallet, and church keys. And I always have that split second panic that they're not where they're supposed to be, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I am reminded they're in the fridge with my lunch. Does anybody else do this? I've also been known that here at Westview, sometimes there's things that I need to keep refrigerated before I take them back home, the leftovers or so. And so I will put my car keys in the mini fridge in the bullpen with that stuff I need to take home, because I ain't going to walk home that far, right? And I think every single staff member that has ever worked here at Westview has asked me, do you know you have your keys in the fridge? But here's the thing, some of them now employ the same method with their lunch. Anybody's going to fess up to that? I don't know, I won't look any certain ways right now. Who does that as well? But it's a way for me to remember my lunch and not forget it. The Apostle Paul says, I want to remind you. What are some of the things that we do to remind ourselves? Maybe some of us put a Google alert on our calendar. So it dings, oh, oh, we got to remember to do this. Or maybe some of us, we send ourselves an email. We do that a lot in our house. So we're at work, I got to remember to do this at home, so we send ourselves an email to our home email address. Anybody do that? Maybe some of us use the old-fashioned, you know, we get that pen out and we write it on our hands. Works great until you get sweaty. Maybe some of us, our desk space is covered and colored with sticky notes of all the things we have to remember to do. Or maybe, has anybody ever done, you know, the old classic is what, tie a string around your finger. Did anybody ever really do that? I don't think I've ever seen that. Anybody want to fess up that they've done that? No hands. Okay. So that's kind of the classic to remind ourselves, right? Paul says, I want to remind you. Let's change the question up just a little bit. What do we do to remind ourselves of our faith? What do we do to remind ourselves of the things of God? What do we do to remind ourselves of our walk with Jesus Christ? Maybe some of us, you know, we have those phones and we put on our lock screen, our wallpaper, a scripture passage. I think it was several years ago we had our own wallpaper here at Westview for a sermon series, Be the Church. And we had all the blue lock screens and we remembered to be the church throughout the week. Maybe some of us, we have the Bible app and we have that daily push notification of the verse of the day just to keep Scripture in front of us. Or maybe, you know, we have that fish decal on our rear bumper to remember not to have road rage down 235, yes? Or maybe when we were memorizing the books of the Bible, we put the books to a song. Can anybody sing the song? You have your song to remember the Bible verse, the Bible books? Or maybe we do something completely different as well. Again, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, he says, I want to remind you. He wants us to remember. The word there for remind is the word to declare. He wants to make known. Paul wants the original readers of this letter, as well as I believe you and I today, to remember something. To remember something important. And he goes on to say, it's the gospel. I want to remind you of the gospel. I want to remind you of the good news about Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on and says, this is something he's already preached to you. This is already something he's already preached to them, right? He's already shared this with them. It's something that these Corinthians have already been privy to. And it is something that they have already received. And so Paul has already preached it. They've already received it. They've taken their stand in it. And now Paul is saying in these words, I want to remind you. I want to remind you of the gospel. This morning on this first Sunday of Lent, we might all find ourselves in different places as we think about the story of Jesus. For some of us, it's maybe brand new, that this is new information, new material for us, and that's okay. Some of us, we maybe have heard a little bits and pieces here, so we're not in unfamiliar territory, and that's okay. Some of us have maybe heard about Jesus a long time, many years in our lives, and we've actually believed this, and we've been seeking to follow Jesus a long time in our lives, and that's okay, that's great. Some of us maybe are so immersed in the Word that, you know, we could probably stand up here right with me and preach it a lot better than I could. We all come together today from maybe some different perspectives, different journeys in our faith, different experiences with Jesus Christ. And wherever we find ourselves this morning, that's okay. It's an okay place to be. Because no matter where we're at and we're starting out today, we're beginning this journey of Lent together. And we're going to start today and we're going to go through the weeks of Lent. We're going to go through Holy Week and we're going to go beyond Holy Week as well. And we're going to focus on these words of Paul, where he says, I want to remind you. I want to remind you of the good news of Jesus Christ. Friends, whether we are brand new to this or whether this is something we've been experiencing our whole lives, I want to remind us this season and beyond, I want to remind us of what we will say is the most important thing we could ever talk about, and that's the story of Jesus. I want to remind us about His story. and about how His story impacts our story. I want to remind us of this good news that you and I can put our faith in. This good news in which we can take our stand upon. This good news, as Paul says, where we can find salvation. I want to remind you of Jesus. So throughout and beyond Lent, our focus is on Jesus. Who He was, what He did, what this means for us. And it might be one of the most simple, which is probably a good change of pace from the last series we had. We were in the depths of theology. But this might be one of the most simple and yet most powerful reminders that we will ever have as we're reminded about the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're going to start here today in John chapter 1. So I would invite you to turn to that scripture passage this morning. And today we're going to say that we want to remind ourselves, we want to be reminded of this good news that Jesus comes to us. So Sam, would you please come and read our scripture passage here this morning?
This passage is from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, not anything was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me.' For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known."
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Sam, for reading this passage for us today. Believe it or not, I know sometimes we count down to Christmas, but if we count backwards from Christmas, you believe it was actually exactly 8 weeks ago today that we were gathered together in this space celebrating Christmas Eve. 8 weeks ago. It's a thing that we talk a lot about, actually, right, in the church. The story of Jesus is a part of His story that we go into great detail. It's this idea of Jesus coming at Christmas time. It's something that has even its own season, right? We're talking about Lent today, but there's its own season of preparation for the coming of Jesus called Advent. And so the coming of Jesus is kind of a big deal. And we treat it as such. It's something we talk about a decent amount. And so the fact that Jesus comes to us, it's maybe one of those things that we are actually used to hearing about. Maybe we've heard about this idea of Jesus coming to us so much that the excitement meter for us today isn't really budging too much, because we're like, yeah, okay, I know this part. I get this. We just talked about it 8 weeks ago. We remember Christmas. It wasn't that long ago. And so maybe some of us, if we feel ourselves internally saying, okay, I know where this is going, and we're starting to feel ourselves even mentally check out. So friends, if that describes us ever so slightly, let me share with you my hope today. My hope today is that we are reminded of the awe of the wonder of the incredible impact that this piece of the gospel story has for us, that Jesus comes to us. That we appreciate this. And so to fulfill this hope, try something with me or attempt something with me this morning. I want us to attempt to get our minds around five truths that we hear in the first five verses that Sam read for us. All right, we're going to go through them pretty quickly. All right, the first truth is this. Jesus is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. He was with God in the beginning. Second truth is this. Jesus is divine. The Word was God. Third truth is this. Jesus is the creator of all things. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Fourth truth is this. Jesus is the giver of life. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. Fifth truth is this. Jesus is powerful. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Got all that? Good. Yes? So what I need us to do, the cheat sheet is there on the screen. Yes, there they all are. What I want us to do is I want us to put our minds around this, to attempt to get our minds around everything that is being communicated about this Jesus that comes to us. And so when we ask the question, who exactly is coming? Who is the one who comes? Well, it is the all-powerful, eternal, creator, life-giving God. Got it? Let me say it again. Who is it that's coming? The all-powerful, eternal, creator, life-giving God. That's who comes. And this all-powerful, eternal, creator, life-giving God comes to us. He comes to you and He comes to me. So if this is Jesus, right? All-powerful, eternal, creator, life-giving God. And He comes to me. Now, last time I checked my resume, I keep being told that I am getting up there in years. I'm getting older, but I am not eternal. I have a beginning and an end. And even though I have spent years crafting and toning this muscular frame you see before you today, you can laugh at that, that's okay. My strength is still limited. And I think many of you already know that with these two hands, I can't fix anything. I can't build things. I can't create things. I'm not artistic by any means. And so certainly I'm not one who can create. I'm not one who can bring about life. And you're all going to say amen to this. I ain't God. Amen? So let's compare. You have the all-powerful, eternal, creator, life-giving God, and you got me. Now, before you all get too smug, before your own heads get big, let's review your resume as well. Because some of you are older than me. And some of you are stronger than me. And some of you have the ability to use your hands to create and design. You're artistic and you can do all of these wonderful things. And some of you can keep, you maybe can't, you don't bear plants, but you can keep plants alive. I can't even do that, right? So you keep life going. But you aren't God either. And so we have the all-powerful, eternal, creator, life-giving God, and then there's us. And what I want us to do just for a moment this morning is I want us to feel the disparity between the two. Just stand in awe for a moment of the disparity, how profound it is that it's this Jesus, all-powerful, eternal, creator, life-giving God, He comes to us, to you and to me. But even more than that this morning, I want us to pause just for a moment. And I want us to embrace the great comfort it is that this Jesus comes to us. That we don't have to be some sort of superstar human being to be worthy of Jesus coming to us. That we don't have to have all the right answers and have made all the right choices. That we don't have to have the smoothest life that there's ever been in order for us to be worthy of Jesus coming to us. That we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to achieve some sort of biblical knowledge in order to be worthy of Jesus coming to us. That we don't have to have achieve some sort of GPA. We don't have to be the star of the team. We don't have to be rising the corporate ladder. We don't have to have achieved success in the world's eyes to be worthy of Jesus coming to us. Friends, none of that matters. This Jesus comes to you and to me. He comes to us just as we are. He meets us right where we are at. And the gospel writer John here in this passage, he testifies, he says that this all-powerful, eternal, creator, life-giving God, that he became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Some of us might know that word dwelling literally means he pitched a tent. He took up residence. I think it's Eugene Peterson in The Message translates it as he moved into the neighborhood. And he moved in and he's not renting, he's buying. He's putting down roots. He's putting down roots in our world. He's putting down roots with us, amongst us. Think about the glory of heaven intermingling with the dust of the earth. Jesus is coming into our world. He's coming into our world. And this Jesus, the all-powerful, eternal, creator, life-giving God, he's coming and meeting us right where we are at today. He's meeting us in our everyday, our real-time, regular life. And he might not just be moving into the house across the street that's for sale, but the good news of the gospel is that this Jesus comes to be with us. He's coming into our world. He's coming to be with us in all the things, in all of our things. And so, friends, yes, he's coming to be with us in the midst of the stress we feel at work this week. He's coming to us, and he's with us in the midst of the disagreements that are happening at home. This Jesus is coming to us. He's with us, meeting with us in the loneliness we feel when we hole up in that bedroom. This Jesus is coming to us. He's meeting with us. He's with us in the midst of the friend drama that's going on. This Jesus is coming to us. He's meeting with us in the midst of the disappointment we feel when we put in so much hard work and things did not come about in the way that we had hoped. This Jesus is coming with us, not just in the hard moments, not just in the difficult times, but this Jesus is coming to us and he's meeting with us at the wedding altar. He meets with us at the baptismal font. And as we'll say in a few moments, Jesus meets with us. He comes to us in the midst of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Jesus comes and he meets with us. He's with us in the quiet room where we go to pray. He's with us in the hospital room where we lie. He's with us on the beach vacation where we relax. He's with us on the bike path where we exercise. He is with us in the row where we come to worship. Friends, I want to remind us today of this good news, this story, this part of the gospel story, that Jesus comes to us. He is with us. And this is good news. Because in his coming, verse 16, John writes this, he testifies that the fullness of his grace we have received. And I loved how Sam's Bible said it. It said grace upon grace. Right? My translation says one blessing after another. One blessing after another. Because Jesus comes and he is with us, we receive one blessing after another. We receive grace upon grace. And when Jesus comes, he brings blessings. It's good. One of the things that he does is he is the fullness of grace and truth. And so when Jesus comes to us, we learn then what it looks like to stand firm on our convictions, but also have the balance of being open to new understanding. Jesus comes, he's with us, one blessing after another. One of the great blessings that Jesus brings when he comes is that he reveals God to us. You look at the very last verse we read, verse 18. John testifies, no one has ever seen God, but God the one and only who is at the Father's side has made him known. And so what that means is that one of the blessings for us is that Jesus comes to us. He meets with us right where we are at. He gives this blessing to us. He reveals God to us in that moment, in that situation. And so then we know how to navigate the stress at work. We know how to navigate the frustrations we're feeling. We know how to navigate the disagreements that are going on. Jesus comes and he meets with us and he's with us and we receive one blessing after another. He reveals God to us. He shows us God in those covenantal moments like at the wedding altar or at the baptismal font or at the Lord's Supper. Jesus comes to us and he meets with us right where we are at, and the blessing is he reveals God to us. And so we are reminded, friends, that our identity is not going to be found in the cash. It's not found in the homes. It's not found in the accomplishments or the dollars or the grades or the accomplishments or the achievements. But when we know that Jesus has come to us just as we are at and is revealing God's love and grace to us, we're reminded that we can find our rest in him. Our identity, our hope is found in Jesus, the one who meets with us. This is the Jesus who comes. This is the Jesus who dwells with us. This is the Jesus who meets us right where we are. And I echo the words of Paul this morning. I want to remind you of this piece of the good news of Jesus. Jesus comes to us. As we said at the beginning, you know, for some of us, this is maybe something we've heard a time or two, or maybe we've heard it for as many years as there are candles on our birthday cake. And so maybe for some of us, the amazement of this foundational piece of the gospel story, maybe it has just lost its luster a little bit. And so I shared with you earlier, right, the hope that I have is that we would recapture today the awe, the wonder, the amazement that this all-powerful, eternal, creator, life-giving God comes to us. So that's my hope today. But I also have a challenge for us this morning. The challenge is this. What will we do with this reminder? How will this part of the gospel story impact our own story? What will we do with the reminder that Jesus comes to us? John mentions here in verse 10, he talks about how Jesus has come into the world, a world that was made through him, and yet it says that the world did not recognize him. The very next verse, it even gets worse, that he came to those who were his own, but his own did not receive him. Friends, will we recognize, will we receive the one who comes to us, the all-powerful, eternal, creator, life-giving God who dwells with us right in the realness of our lives, who meets us right where we are? Will we recognize him and will we receive him? Will we embrace the goodness of this incredible gift that God comes to us in Jesus? God is with us. Jesus comes to us and he comes to be with us in our joys and in our struggles and our hurts and our hopes. He comes to us in our pain and in the promises. He comes to us in our everyday and in the mundane. He comes to us in all of our things, and he comes with that blessing upon blessing, one blessing after another, grace upon grace, and he comes, and out of the fullness of his grace, he comes to love us and to lead us and to guide us and to comfort us and to challenge us and to care for us and to heal us. He comes to save us. And so, friends, will we recognize him? Will we receive him? Because the promise is this. John says, to all who receive him, to all who believe in him, he gives the right to become children of God. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus, and I want to remind you today that Jesus comes to us. Amen. And what I love this morning that we celebrate the Lord's Supper together is the very fact that we proclaim each time we gather around the Lord's Supper that Jesus is here with us. In fact, he doesn't just come to us here. He is already here, and he has invited you and me to come and to celebrate this meal. He's invited us to come and partake of the bread, which represents his body that was broken for us. He invites us to come and partake of the cup, which is representing his blood that was shed for us. Jesus invites you and me to come and receive grace upon grace, the blessing of his body and his blood that was broken and shed for us and for our salvation. And so, friends, Jesus is inviting us to come today, to come to him as he has come to us. Before we come, let's pray together. God, we worship you today. We celebrate you today. We give you thanks and praise for who you are and all that you have done for us. You created everything. You even created us in your own image. You take care of us. You provide. You watch over us. And most of all, God, you have sent to us the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. The eternal Word, as we heard today, who was made flesh, as we heard today, for us and for our salvation, as we heard today. And so for this precious gift of this mighty and wonderful Savior who has made us right with you, we worship and adore your holy and glorious name. And as we come to the Lord's Supper this morning, God, we remember the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for my sin and for our sin and for the sin of the whole world. As we begin the season of Lent together, we recognize sin and its effects upon us. And we thank you for the gift of Jesus who died on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven. And even as we enter into the season of Lent, we know that we'll enter Holy Week. And we know that Jesus will die on that cross, but we also know that 3 days later the tomb was empty. And we celebrate this morning Jesus is rising again, securing life in his name. And God, as we come to this supper, we not only remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus, but we also remember that Jesus will come again. And we have hope that all things, that when Jesus comes, not just that first time, but the second time Jesus comes, everything will be made new when he comes again. And so now until that moment, God, we pray, Holy Spirit, you would now fall upon us that as we celebrate this meal together and proclaim the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that this bread would be to us the body of Christ, this cup would be to us the blood of Jesus, and it would be indeed grace upon grace, one blessing after another, so that we can be nourished, we can be encouraged, we can be strengthened in our faith, and so that we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. We can grow up into him who is the head of us all. We pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.